We're going through the book of Mark. We're on Mark chapter 2. You know, everything Jesus tries to do, someone doesn't like it. Have you ever felt that way? Huh? Try to do something good, and then someone slaps you in the face. No, they wouldn't do that to you, would they? Listen to this. Mark chapter 2, verse 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples walked along, and they began to pick some grain, heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Verse 25, he answered, "Have you never read that what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and he ate the consecrated bread, which is unlawful for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. And then he said unto them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.' So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Lord, in the next few moments, speak to our hearts and our lives. I ask you, Lord, let your word work in us and help us. Thank you for this new year, Lord. Thank you in what you're going to do in our church and through the families and through our lives. God, help us. Help us to refocus, to re-energize, to retool, so that we can bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray. The church said, amen. Don't forget, Wednesday night we're doing a prayer service, and we're anointing everybody for the new year. If you come Wednesday night, we're going to anoint you for God's favor and God's honor and God's blessing for 2020, all right? We're bringing in all the kids. We're just going to pray for everybody, all right? Hallelujah. And you're going to pray for me, too. That'd be all right? It'll be wonderful, all right? This is our week of fasting and prayer. Tomorrow night we'll begin up for the new year, our Monday night prayer meeting. Okay, 6:30, join me here. It's going to be good. All right? So here Jesus is. This is the fourth time he creates controversy for the Pharisees. Fourth time! And we're on what? Chapter 2. You ever felt like life does that way with you? I mean, you just, all of a sudden, someone's flaring up here, and someone's flaring up here, and someone's flaring. And if that doesn't happen to you, you should pastor. I mean, it's just amazing. Here Jesus is, just a short time of ministry, and all of a sudden, we've got our fourth controversy already about the Sabbath. Because this is what the law said in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 25. If you enter your neighbor's grain field, you may pick kernels with your hands, but you must not put a sickle to their standing grain. Man, isn't that awesome? I don't know about you, but there have been times when I've been driving down the road, wish I could go over there and pick some of that cotton. But then I thought about a shotgun or two that might be. But in the Old Testament, they gave you permission to sample a little bit of your neighbor's field. And that's kind of what Jesus was doing. He's going through there. Here's the problem. It was the Sabbath. And the Pharisees had a problem. He was reaping on the Sabbath, an act of work, a violation of the Sabbath rest. Because this is what Exodus chapter 34, verse 21 said, 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the plowing season and the harvest season, you must rest. I mean, there's a principle in the Bible where you and I need rest. You and I need to rest. Amen? Now listen to me. I could work 7 days a week. I could do that. I love to work. I could do it, but it wouldn't be healthy. It would not be healthy. There's something powerful about a day of rest. You need to take a day of rest. Somebody say amen. And if you have an opportunity, Pastor Larry gives you permission to take a nap today. Okay? So here's the deal. The Jews and the Pharisees knew the law, but they had this thing called the Mishnah. And the Mishnah was the categories of the law. Okay? So to the Sabbath, they had a list of 39 things you could not do on the Sabbath. And if you did one of those 39 things, it was work. And number 3 on the list was harvest. And what Jesus and his disciples were doing was harvesting on the Sabbath, which was supposed to be a day of rest. And you and I both know they really weren't harvesting. They were snacking. You understand that? But that's what they did. And here's what they knew. The teacher was responsible for his disciples. And that was the law back then, that the teacher was responsible for his disciples. Yeah. So what does Jesus do? He appeals to Scripture. Now think about that for a moment, because Jesus made a pattern of appealing to Scripture. Remember when he's tempted in the wilderness, what does he do? He appeals to the Scripture. It is written, it is written, it is written. To every temptation, you and I need to know the Word of God. I hope there's something in you that will plan to read the Bible through its entirety this year. You ought to purpose to do that. Well, I don't know. You know, if I purpose to do it, I'm failed and I'm a failure. And I don't know. What if you purpose to do it and do it? I think you can do it. It's only 3 or 4 chapters a day. Do a couple in the morning and a couple before you go to bed. Matter of fact, the trick to having a good night's sleep is read your Scripture at bedtime and the devil will knock you out. I mean, it works. Just read. Just try it. So David appeals to Scripture. This is what David did when he was in trouble, 1 Samuel chapter, and so on and so forth. He's there, and he's eating things he wasn't supposed to be eating. It was only consecrated. Don't you understand the principle here? That God cares about people. Here's the problem with the Pharisees. They had become so stringent, so narrow in their interpretation of Scripture. Now, everybody's wrong. And you and I need to be very careful about our approach to Scripture, because I know people who have taken Scripture and focused it so narrow, and they've made it that way to serve themselves. You know, Pastor Larry, what do you mean? Here's one for you.
Pastor Larry, the Bible says that the woman should be in submission to the husband.
And I want to say to the man, you know, the Scripture does say that, but what you're asking the wife to do is not really kosher. Submission. Do you see how that can destroy and derail a lot of things? Here's what the Bible says to the man. Love your bride as Christ loved the church. Amen. Who? What'd he do? He died for the sake of his church. And when husbands love their wives, willing to sacrifice like Christ sacrificed for his church, that she will love you, she will love you, she will love you, she will love you, she will love you. Amen? So we have to be careful. Because what happened with the Pharisees, and here's the problem, it exceeded the intention of the law. The law wasn't made so that we serve the Sabbath. The law was made so that the Sabbath blesses us. There's something beautiful about rest. It's what God did. He rested on the seventh day. And he wants, we are what? Created in the image of God. And if God rested on the seventh day, it's probably a good thing for you to find some rest. You know what I read the other day? People who sleep deeply lose their anxiety and stress. Did you hear that? People who find that deep sleep lose their stress and their anxiety. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you need to find some sleep. Isn't it beautiful how God designed us? He says, give yourself rest. And science comes along and says, one of the reasons you need deep sleep is to lose your stress and anxiety that's killing you. Yeah. So what happened to the Pharisees? They made the Sabbath something God never intended it to be. It became a measure of their spirituality. Look at us. We don't cook. We don't do anything. I don't know if you've ever been to Israel, but on the Sabbath, they don't do anything. And in the hotels, the Jewish community don't do anything. All the Arabs are there cooking for you because nobody wants to break the law. Because you know us Christians, we eat on the Sabbath. It's quite an amazing thing how they go to the nth degree to honor the law. But the problem is they make it so narrow. Listen, the moment you try to measure other people's spirituality based on the convictions of your own heart, you are in trouble. You're in trouble. The Sabbath was never meant to be a measure of one's spirituality. No. It's not a duty for the spiritually affluent to measure our spirituality by the stuff we do. That's not God's plan. That's not God's intention. We can get in trouble that way. They had made the Sabbath a duty and missed the purpose. We always get in trouble when we make things our duty. We will miss the purpose that God intended for it. Yeah. Have you ever made something a duty and missed the meaning? You see, a day of rest will re-energize your life. A day of rest will bring you creativity. A day of rest will refocus and repurpose your life. And to miss that ability and make it about duty, you miss everything God intended it to be. And we can do the same thing with church.
I gotta go to church today. I don't know about you, but I love church.
I love church. He died for the church. He loves the church. The only thing that's going to survive out of this world is the church. Hallelujah. And when he comes back, I want to be in church. Because I want us to take a ride together. It's going to be awesome. Amen? Yeah. We have to be careful. See, church is not a duty. It's meant to bring restoration. It's meant to bring what? To build up one another in faith, to encourage one another in faith. But the moment you make it about duty, you start looking around and see, oh, they weren't here. They're not here. I'm here. I'm here. Look, I'm here. Look at me. I'm here. It's what the Pharisees were doing. And they missed the purpose of the Sabbath. Don't miss the purpose of church. Amen? You see, you and I can make anything that God has invented to bring health to our spiritual life and physical life just a duty. Can I tell you? Your married life can just be duty. Things you do. Marriage is not meant to be just...
I got to do it today.
Marriage is meant to bring life and encouragement to your life. But you make it a duty. And anything that God gives us can be made into a duty. Because we're supposed to do some things, you know. We got to be careful. We have to fight not to reduce your spiritual life just to duty. You know, I got to read the word today. I got to pray today. I got to do this today. I got to do this today. I got to love people today. How many love can be a duty that gets corrupted? Yeah. Prayer can just be a duty. I got to do it. I got to do it. I got to do it. And when you make prayer a duty, you lose its life. When you make reading the scripture a duty, you lose its life. Amen. Now, some of you probably ought to start the duty of reading scripture. Because you'll never find the life of scripture unless you do the reading of scripture. And the same is true with prayer. You'll never find the life in prayer without praying. Amen? You have to know. And here's the deal. Here's when you know you've crossed the barrier between duty and life-giving things, is you start judging everybody. Because that's what the Pharisees did. They judged Jesus. Look what the Pharisees are doing. They're picking grains. They're judging every time. Why? That's when you know you've crossed that line and you've made life about duty versus recreation and encouragement and edification and things that build up. Now you're destroying. You're breaking apart. You start judging people because they don't measure up to your standards. I'm glad they don't measure up to your standards. Because here's the deal. It's about Him. And you're not going to measure yourself against one another. You're going to measure yourself against Him. And if you'll understand that we know this. We all fall short. We all fall short of the glory of God. And we need His mercy every day. You see, the temptation when the duty has become separated from our spiritual life, the temptation is to stop the doing. You know, when duty takes over a marriage, the answer to restore life is not to stop the duty of marriage. When duty takes over prayer, the answer is not to stop praying. When duty takes over church, the answer isn't stop coming to church. When duty takes over worship, the answer is, well, I just can't worship anymore. No. You got to keep doing. What you have to do is learn to invite the life into your doing. Amen? Yeah. You'll never ignite the Sabbath by stopping doing the Sabbath. You'll never ignite prayer by stopping prayer. You'll never ignite worship by moving away from worship. No. Jesus doesn't say stop the Sabbath because of what the Pharisees had turned it into. He says keep doing it. Keep honoring God. Listen to me. And here's what the writer of Hebrews says. Every day is the Sabbath in Christ Jesus. Every day is a day of rest in Jesus. Every day is a day of rest in Jesus. I don't have to work out and gain something from God to earn my salvation. He paid the price for my salvation. There's no more need for a sacrifice of sin because of the sacrifice of Christ. Therefore, every day in Christ is a day of rest. I get to rest in His spiritual victory. I get to rest in the power of His blood, the power of His resurrection. Glory to God, there's newness of life in me every day. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. So the real question is, let's don't stop doing these things we know we ought to do. How do I invite faith and life in those things again? First of all, I have to acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said it. Just, you need to know that the Lord, the Son of Man, is Lord of the Sabbath. You gotta know He is Lord of your life. And that means this: you need to begin to honor Him as Lord. Amen? When you wake up in the morning, thank you, Jesus, for another day of your care. When I come to church, thank you, Lord, for church. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to pray with my brothers and sisters in Christ. There's something beautiful about the Lordship of Christ, that He watches over my days, my moments. He takes care of me when I can't take care of myself. Amen? Yeah, He's good. So we have to acknowledge the Lordship of Christ. Amen? That means you have to acknowledge it. And a part of that acknowledgement is surrender. Living a life of surrender under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Stop trying to direct all of your days. It's His days. God, how do I align my days with your days? How do I align my heart with your purpose, your kingdom? Because after all, it's your Lordship that matters over my life. Sometimes it means reorganizing your life around His Lordship. Because listen, when He says something, He means it. You know, when He says, don't do something, He means, don't do that. Amen? And that means if you're doing something He told you not to do, you got to reorganize your life over the Lordship of Christ. And that means you've submitted yourself to obedience to what He has said. Amen? Yeah. So how do you do that? You got to invite God into the duties of your faith. I don't know about you, but I just don't want to worship. I want to worship with the help of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you. I just don't want to pray. I want to pray with the help of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you. I just don't want to read the scripture, the Holy Word of God, without the help of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit who inspired it. It's the Holy Spirit who illuminates it so I can understand what the principles of the kingdom are really all about. So I can push away my heart of flesh and know the life-giving flow of the Spirit in the doing of faith. You know what that brings me? Energy. You know what that brings me? Creativity. You know what that brings me? A renewed purpose. Glory to God. Amen. You see, make the purpose of your doing to honor God. Man, I want to read this scripture here, God, because I want to honor your word. I want to worship you, Lord, because I want to honor you for what you've done and what you're doing in my life. I want to pray, Lord, because I want to honor you. I want to do to honor you. Amen? Yeah. Duty. The doing of faith is about three things. Number one, honoring God. Honoring God with our lives. And this is a great, great message for a new year. That this day we can repurpose our lives for this year to honor God like never before. Amen? Now, I've tried to live my life to honor God. And here's what I know. He deserves more than what I've ever gave Him. He deserves more than I've ever gave Him. Help me to honor you more, Lord. Amen? Man, would that make 2020 an amazing year? Huh? The second thing is this. I know my doing is about spiritual growth. It's about spiritual growth. You will never grow without doing the things of faith. You'll never grow spiritually without reading your word. You'll never grow spiritually without praying. You'll never grow spiritually without consistently worshiping God. Do you hear me? I remember one time I got in this thing, you know, every time I turned, got in the car, I'd plug in a worship song. Oh, it's lucky I didn't have a wreck. This is the trap I fell into. The music I was listening to became a substitute for heart worship. I was singing along with the songs and agreeing, but nothing was coming out of my heart. And there's a lot of things, sometimes we substitute the real. It's good, it's holy, it's righteous, it's honoring. But listen to me, God wants to do more worship than just you plugging in an album or listening to a podcast. He wants to do something inside of you, a worship that rises up out of you. That isn't sparked by something outside, that's coming alive from within you. Isn't that what Jesus said about the power of the Holy Spirit? Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of what? Living water. And sometimes I believe that to be living water of worship, the living water of prayer, the living water of studying His Word. There's something beautiful about surrender. And allowing the Holy Spirit to do something in us, to grow in us. Yeah. If you don't keep a priority of honoring God, you will create a disordered faith. And a disordered faith will always produce disordered relationships. You know, when relationships go south, we always want to blame that other person. It's always their fault. It's always their fault. It's always their fault. It's always their fault. Sometimes we just need to stand in the mirror and say, "Thou art the man. Heal me, Lord. Heal me." You see, the duty of doing faith is about three things: honoring God, spiritual growth, and the third thing is honoring God, and the spiritual growth is about serving your neighbor. Ordered faith. Listen to what Jesus said. Matthew 22, verse 37. I need the worship team back up here. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands." What is it? Loving the Lord. You know what loving the Lord is? Honoring Him. With the details of your life, the doing of your faith, honoring Him. And what happens? A love is promoted that what? Not only thinks of yourself, doesn't care just for yourself, doesn't bring healing just to yourself. I mean, you know, all those things happen when you honor God. He heals you to the core. There's something about the presence of God that will heal you like nothing else. Yeah. And then he says this, love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, when you know he loves you, you can love that person sitting next to you. Glory to God. There's something beautiful about honoring God with our doing. I don't know about you, but I want to invite God into all my doing this year. Every time I come to church, I just don't want to do church. I want the Holy Spirit to come. Do something in me. Do something for the sake of somebody else in the house. And there's something powerful about that. You see, I believe the Spirit of God can repurpose all of your duty to the glory of God. And I need Him to do that sometimes in my life. Because I can be a Pharisee pretty easy. Stand with me, would you? Why don't you ask God to help you honor Him this year? Just ask Him to, God, just help me to honor You. Help me to honor You in my spiritual journey, Lord. Help me to honor You, Lord God, in my marriage. Help me to honor You, Lord, in my relationship with my children. Help me to honor You, Lord, with my family, with my friends. Help me, Lord God, and to honor You in my worship, to honor You, Lord, in my giving, to honor You, Lord God, in my prayer life, to honor You, Lord Jesus, in my reading of Scripture, Lord. God, I just don't want to do these things. I need Your life, the life of Your Spirit, to come along and do something inside of me, Lord. Lord, I thank You for last year. I thank You for all the good You did in me, Lord, but God, I need more of You. I want more of the activity of God in my life, Lord, and I just invite the Holy Spirit right now. God, I give You permission to work overtime in this heart.